We're going to be very general this morning. I'm not going to share anything you probably don't already know. But I want us sometimes when we need to look again. And in the looking again, God does something in the heart, right? And over the last few years, it would seem like the gates of hell have been unleashed. And there's like this horde of demons that have been going forth in an effort to break the back of society and to cause a universal despair, if you like, in the hearts of people. And when you talk to people in this world, you don't hear hope. You hear nothing but problems. This is going on, that is going on, this is happening, this is happening. And it's like this is all we hear these days when we talk to people. And if we look at society these days, because we're not ignorant of what is going on, right? When we look at society these days, we see family breakdown. We see a powerful drug culture. And we see suicide. And we see a sense of hopelessness. And you talk to people and there's a sense of worthlessness that's found in people. And it's much like the story of the Good Samaritan. There's plenty of people that are hurting, right? And there's plenty of people that are very good at putting up a facade and you don't really know what's going in here. But those that are hurting, there's not many people there to help. People don't want to get involved because it requires a lot of time. It requires a lot of effort. It's going to maybe use some of your resources, whatever it is. And basically, I believe we are reaping what we have sown over the years. And we're now in a generation, we have a generation that many people are scarred, especially young people, because they've never been loved. They never know what love is. And worse still, perhaps they've been abused in the name of love. And our young people are looking to a future. Well, they should be, should be looking to a future with a great hope and a great expectation in Christ Jesus. Amen. Because he came to give us that very thing. And sadly, the generation that we're seeing today, they are living without hope. It's bothering me, church. It really is. And there's many parents that have children like this that they're unable to fix the problem because the parents themselves need fixing. The government can't fix the situation. It can't put a budget together or a plan together because this is a spiritual problem. Amen. And God is looking to the church. And so it's a time, as we're hearing from Pastor Justin too, it's a time when God is beginning to move, amen? And he will move in these days ahead like never before, and we already know that hearts are beginning to be stirred in this very church, amen? God is beginning to grip our hearts afresh. People are beginning to desire to walk in holiness. They realize that, you know what? It's time for me to step things up. It's time for me to put aside the foolishness of this world. It's time for me to pick up the things of God. And when I'm talking to people, I'm hearing these words resonate out of their mouths. So God, I know God is doing something in the heart because man can't do this. God is beginning to grip his people, grip their hearts that they might make the changes that he's been wanting them to make. And we're seeing people who are just wanting the word of God instead of entertainment. Because they realize that the entertainment and the facade of church does not work. It has to be the word of God. And so God is beginning to stir all these things. And I'm telling you, it's exciting. Do you know there's a cry for revival that started? People are desperately wanting the move of God. People are beginning to cry out for things I've never cried out for before. Even in this church, we never used to pray for the city, but we pray for the city. We pray for other churches. We pray for the lost. God has caused us to not navel gaze anymore, but to lift our eyes and behold the purposes that he died for in the first place was for those that are lost might be found. Amen. And he's stirring our hearts that we might walk in accordance with what the very thing that he did for us, to see the extension of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Prayer is beginning to increase. There's no doubt about that. And that's exactly what God said. He said, for my house shall be a house of prayer. Yet over the years, it's the thing that's been diminished. It's the smallest meeting. It's been ineffective and not powerful, but God has caused it to rise up again because these are the weapons that He has given us. And He said, the weapons of warfare that I've given you are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. So He has equipped His church with some very powerful things, and the devil has tried to suppress it. But God is causing it to arise again, that His house might be a house of prayer, that intercessory prayer might arise again. Amen. And because of that, great things are going to be seen. Here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept. Lion up on lion. Things are being restored and revived because that is what God said He will do. And the reason being is that Christ and the church shall function together again for the purpose that God has called it to do, to represent the kingdom of God. Amen. For the church has the potential to be a part of the greatest move and the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Amen. It is true. Isaiah 35:7. You don't need to turn it, you can if you like. I'm just going to read through something here just to illustrate what I'm saying. It says, the parched ground shall become a pool. Isn't it interesting? It's the dry place. It doesn't say I'm going to add some more water to the water, top up the swimming pool. He says that parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. You see, there's such a dryness in the world today. There's such a dryness in the land, in people's hearts. But God said, this is the very place that I'm going to move, because then my glory can be seen. Then it can't be recognized as the hand of man. It can only be recognized by the hand of God. For in the midst of the desert and the dry place and the parched land, and that place, there I shall cause my water to come forth. And he goes on to say, in the habitation of jackals where each lay. So even where, and some versions say dragons. So even in the habitation of the demonic and the evil things that are taking place and the corruption that's happening in the world, even in the midst of these is where I cause my spirit to pour out. Amen. There shall be grass with reeds and rushes that represents life that shall come. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called a highway of holiness, because we are called a holy people and He is a holy God. And this is why God is causing His people to come back to walk in holiness again. Hallelujah. The unclean shall not pass over it. There's no access. This is why God says you must have clean hands and a pure heart. That's what God can use. Amen. But it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, for the world will look upon those who call upon the name of the Lord as fools. It's fantasy, it's this, it's whatever. It's not looked upon as wisdom, but it says, you shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall ever any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but guess what? It says, but the redeemed shall walk there. The redeemed shall walk there. God is preparing a place for the church to walk in, a provision, a preparation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just realized I worked on my message and changed all of it, and I've got the old one. Praise the Lord. Let me just look again and see if I have... Oh, I'll keep going. There's no problems. I might say, look at a word, and it might join to something completely different. It's all good. We'll open up this. I think this is it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're in church today, especially the young people, you need to know that God has favored you with the opportunity to be an overcomer. Because this is the spirit that He has put in you to overcome, that you'll be able to overcome. And I say opportunity because many people today, they don't feel like winners, right? And the Lord is so desperately wants to change that. The Lord so desperately wants to change our perceptions and our thinking that our eyes might be flooded with His glorious light. That's what His Word declares, that our eyes are meant to be flooded with His glorious light. Yet we're so busy looking at so many other things. Because Jesus said He is our hope of glory. Amen. Meaning in Christ, there is hope. In Christ, there is hope, folks. And the Scriptures tell us that it does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. And the word for hope in the Bible, it literally means expectation. Not the worldly word for hope. Oh, I hope so. When we use the Bible word for hope, we can say, I expect so. Because that's what the word means. That's why hope does not disappoint. Because it's an expectation because of the word of God and the promise of God and what He has declared for us. Hallelujah. Now, someone once said that as oxygen is for the lungs, so is hope to the human heart. You know, a lot of people have false hopes. They've got knowledge, they've got technology, they've got securities like houses and money and provision and all that sort of stuff. But it's fool's gold. Because ultimately, they are worthless and will not sustain you. I'm not saying it's bad to have these things, but they shouldn't rule us. The Spirit of God should have rule over us. We're just stewards of what God has provided. There's nothing wrong with having those things, but don't put your trust in them. Put your trust in Christ. And that's what Jesus came. He came and He conquered death and the grave so that we might know that in Him, we too can overcome. Because He went before us to prepare the way, to show us, amen, that we might follow in His stead and He represented for what us to, as a testimony of what we should do and how we should do it. And what that means to you and I is that no matter what happens, there is nothing that can keep you chained. There is nothing that can keep you captive. No word, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No curse, no strategy of the devil shall hold you back. For you have the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Do we understand that today, church? And He has seated you in heavenly places with Himself. And that is why we need to begin to view things from that position. Seated with Christ. See, Christian hope, it's a living hope. You know, I may not see it straight away. When things are going on in my own life, I may not see it straight away. I may not experience what the Word says straight away. But I put my faith in Christ Jesus, for He says His Word shall. I love those words in the Bible. His Word shall surely come to pass, that it will not return void. And that it shall accomplish all that it was set forth to do. You know, we should take an incredible confidence in that. That this is what Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name of every other name has said. And if we put our expectation upon that, we should be able to stand steadfast and not be like a reed that is blowing back and forth in the wind with peaks and highs and lows in our life. Because of the promise that God has said for us. See, I'm talking about hope here. It doesn't disappoint. But we need to come again and place our expectation upon Christ Jesus and our faith upon Him. You know, you cannot and you must not function by sight, but by faith. Too many things are happening in this world today that are going to dislodge you if you focus upon them. If you allow it to mess up your emotions and your thinking and everything else, this is a time that we must be looking to the Word of God, that we must be walking in faith, for He alone is the anchor for our soul. Amen. 1 Peter 1 verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So even the Bible says there's going to be trials that are going to be hard to deal with at times. But that the genuineness of your faith be much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having seen, not seen, so we haven't seen him, yet we love him, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. Is that what we do? Do we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory? You see, if we allow the word of God to permeate into our spirit and look upon the promises of God, man, we should be like a firecracker. Nothing's going to hold us back. Amen. We should be so thankful and full of praise and thanksgiving upon our lips because of what the Lord has done for us and what he has equipped us with and what he has laid before us to walk that path. It's incredible, church. Yet we lose sight of it. And we put our expectation upon other things. And I'm saying, do not lose sight of it today, church. Place your expectation upon the Lord Jesus Christ again. And then it goes on in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is a promise to us. And if you've been struggling, church, I just want to say, don't quit. Don't you dare give up. No one said it was going to be easy. But in Christ, life's difficulties are minimized because of the hope and the expectation and the promise that has been laid down for you. Don't lose sight of it. Don't lose sight of it. You know, life has got a funny way of dragging us through some crazy places and some crazy experiences that we wish we'd never gone through. Only in hindsight we look back and think, wow, that's God really did a number in my life then. But in the midst of it, we're pretty good at kicking and screaming and complaining. But God will meet you where you're at, amen? And he will use what would seem negative for his purposes and for his glory. And so what we need to do is to stand in faith, and we just need to continue to pursue Christ. For it's Christ alone that's going to sustain you, and it's Christ alone that will enable you to walk through this life. And so I simply say, have faith in God. Sounds like a silly thing to say, doesn't it? We know that. We're in church today. But have faith in God. So when you're facing some things, it's very easy for the human nature and human logic and human reasoning to come to the forefront, to function out of sight. But God says not to function that way, but to walk by faith. So we need to look to the Word. What does God say? How am I meant to respond in this situation? How should, here's a good one, and I speak to myself of this one, how's the fruits of the Spirit in your life to respond to the situation? Amen. You know, everything in this world is opposing Christ, opposing the church. And we know it's an antichrist flavor. We know that. There's principles, there's morals, there's standards, there's laws, there's opinions. Everything is coming against the Word of God. And this is where, like I said, Christ needs to be that anchor. And I'm speaking very generally today because I don't want to see any of you here when trials come, and they will come. And when things happen, maybe even persecution, whatever, we need to be able to be ones that are unmovable, ones that are anchored in the Lord, ones that are steadfast in our faith, because there's going to be many that are going to come into the kingdom. They're going to look to you guys for stability. And you're going to be the only stability they've ever known in their life, because there's no stability in the world. It's only found in Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone, the foundation of our faith. And so many are going to look to you. And so we need to know how to stand firm, how to not be wavered and blown to and fro. Amen. To be the example for many. And then for those who don't know, when I mentioned the word soul, that is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the world is pretty good at messing with your mind through stuff going on. How am I going to pay that bill? Oh, no, look at this going on. Oh, you know, in certain circumstances, we can have a group of people walk down the street and almost feel like, oh, what's going on here? Or bad examples. But you know what I'm saying? There's so many experiences in life that'll challenge our thinking and cause us to think contrary to the Word of God. The world will mess with your mind. And what that happens when your mind gets messed with, it then affects your emotions. Because you might start to worry, or you might start to be anxious, or you might start to fret. And when that happens, then ultimately it controls your will. And that's why I said that the mind is the strong man of the soul, because to affect the mind is ultimately to affect the will. And then from that, you find your feet are walking in a different place, in a different direction to what the Word of God would want for you. And that's why you find at times you do stuff you never wanted to, for the soul is leading rather than the Spirit of God. This is why Jesus said, not my will, but your will. And if we're prepared to come before the Lord and allow His will to be outworked in our life, then you can be sure that your feet are going to stand on solid ground consistently. Amen. It's very easy to function out of feelings, and it's very easy to function out of emotions. And I say, be cautious about that. Take it to the Lord. Allow Him to lead. I'm just going to give you an example of how our world is influencing us, just looking at some statistics that I was looking at the other day, or last night. Statistically, if you're a young adult, 18 years of age, and I found this quite eye-opening, you've acquired, I think it was about 10,700 hours to 11,000 hours of education. So you're 18 years old, you've had 11,000 hours of education. Alongside that education, you would have received on average about 14,000 hours of television. And I guess we can include the term screen time these days, right? Internet, tablets, all that sort of thing. And in those times of watching TV, you would have participated vicariously in 18,000 murders by your 18th birthday. And you would have witnessed around 150,000 violent acts, not forgetting that this is excluding games. During your 14,000 hours of TV, you have also been exposed to every world value that comes from the pit of hell, from adultery to fornication to homosexuality to a cult to horror films promoting fear to witchcraft to lying to cheating to selfishness and all forms of violence, all portrayed by these thousands of people called stars. So these are the statistics where our children are growing up in, and ourselves too. But you see, what's shown on TV these days and what's available on the internet is far more sinister and dangerous to how it ever used to be. So the reality and the standard of people's lives is then set by something that is in the complete opposite to God's ways and God's standard. And this is the world we live in. And this is why so many young people today have massive issues with anger and violence and pornography and impatience and general rebelliousness, because their world has been shaped by every antichrist thing that there is. And that is the normal that's seen and lived through TV is just one example. And you know that the devil is so cunning and sinister. I'll just give you a little example, but you can go and check this out for yourself to see if it's true or not. Let's just mention Walt Disney without going into all the details. Some may know. We all grew up watching Walt Disney films and things like that. But you know that guy is so perverted If you go onto YouTube and look at subliminal messages in Walt Disney, you'll see every pornographic thing in the world that are portrayed in the children's movies, hidden, but they're subliminal messages, so it just fleets on the screen and goes, or it's written in clouds, or you know, there's a priest behind a lectern like this, and the kids are there, and he's standing behind you with an erection, and it just comes across the screen and goes, and you don't see it with your natural eye, but the mind picks it up and sees it. And these are things that are happening in our world today, geared towards children. This is true. Look it up on YouTube. It's there. Subliminal messages, and it's all in there affecting the kids, and they reckon it actually impacts the psyche of a person because it comes through the eye gate and it's picked up. And we wonder why there's issues with pornography and all these things in this world today, because this world has got an antichrist flavor that is fashioned to draw people away from Christ and every godly thing. Check it out. I'm not lying to you here. That's just one example, but they're everywhere. And so this is the world that we live in. And this is why suicide is one of the highest killers of young people between 15 and 19 today. Sense of hopelessness and worthlessness. And too many people and young people are living in despair and without hope, and they don't care any longer. They just want to be free of the pain. And whether it be to rejection, insecurity, and a big one today is people do not know who they are. There's a struggle with identity. You see, we know who we are because God tells us who we are. But people don't know that they are a child of God and He's died for them to bring them a future and a hope. So there's this massive issue in our society of identity. Every person I have spoken to that is involved in lesbianism or homosexuality, every single one of them has an identity crisis. Every single one of them. I haven't met anyone yet who doesn't. Many are involved in drug abuse and they blow their minds on trips and things and destroy themselves for the rest of their life. Young people today, they see conflicts and divorce and things in marriages, no parental guidelines and godly discipline. Some nations, they have the anti-smacking laws. All these things, it's contrary to the Word of God. And then we've got the ever-present help of TV and the internet and everything else. And these young people do not understand that the way they're living is not God's best for them. So this morning, and I know this is a little bit different to what we normally do, I want to pray for our city and I want to pray for our young people. You know, this sort of stuff has bothered me. And the more I started just doing a little bit of research, just very, like I'm talking very generally this morning, I think, you know what? We are the answer through Christ Jesus for these ones. You know, through prayer, our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. And we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So when we pray and declare the Word of God, make no bones about it, something's taking place and happening. And the devil is subject to the name of Jesus, amen? It's not the other way around. He is subject. And we stand as the watchman on the walls for this city, for what shall take place and what shall not take place. Because that is the authority that the believer has in Christ Jesus. Amen. And so we're going to pray for the young ones in this city. We're going to see them saved. We're going to see them come to the Lord. We're going to see this stuff getting thrown out of this land because this is where God has placed us. This is our Jerusalem, if you like. First Jerusalem, then Samaria, then the outermost parts of the world. And so this is where God has placed us. So it's up to us to say, you know what, no more. We reject this thing and we call these ones forward into the kingdom of God that they may be saved. And we come against these spirits of lust and pornography and everything else in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Kelly, come on up. You got a heart for youth. Tim, come on up. Justin, you got a heart for youth. I want you three guys just to quickly pray. We're going to pray for the city. We're going to pray for the youth. And we're just going to believe together and do something practical this morning. Because we can hear all these words, but let's be practical because God has said we are His hands and feet. Who wants to start? All right, cool.
All right, so we just all come together in prayer.
Yes, Jesus.
Just lift up this city, Father God. Father God, we just thank You for all these young children these children that are coming to and from every week to youth. They've got the heart there, Father God, but we just want to create that safe environment, that safe heaven, that refuge, that safe place. Father God, we just pray, Father God, that as we declare these words over these people's lives, these kids' lives, Father God, that they'll be like a house that'll stand through the storm. They'll have that foundation. Father God, we thank you that as we share this word with these children, that they will go out and they will spread this. There will be a light unto each and every one of them as they prepare to go into high school and these giants that they face ahead as they split up. Father God, we pray that they would know that they are light and they have a God that is greater than anything that can come before them. We thank you, God, that they would not grow weary while doing good, but in due season they will reap a reward for their diligence. So we just thank you, Lord, and we just lift your name up. We just want to praise your name.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all these kids in this city. And Lord, I just pray that your hand would be upon the schools, that they would have a heart for you, Lord. Open their hearts so they would see that you are not daggy, that you are not something that they shouldn't have, Lord. But I pray that they would yearn for you, that they would long for you, that they would know you as soon as your hand is upon them, Lord. That they would know this is where they're supposed to be, Lord, and that they would continue on in you, Lord. I just pray that you would bring these kids into your embrace, Lord, and you would lift them up, and so that they would know that they are worthwhile. Give them a hope, Lord, that there is a future and the future is in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, you gave us authority, Lord God, to speak your word over the life of these young people. Father, you caused us to speak, Lord, your laws and your decrees, Father. And we come against the devil right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we lift up every young person in this city right now, Lord, that you will begin to mold and make them, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come against every demonic opposition through television, through internet, through pornography, Lord God. Everything that is affecting the minds of our children right now, we bring to the cross of Jesus Christ and we bring forth captive every single thought right now that is infiltrating the minds of our young people, Lord. And we declare your holiness. We declare your righteousness. We declare, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that our young people shall see salvation, that they shall see your miracle, and they shall be a light, Lord God. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, and we stand together as one body, as your church, that we pray the revival that is coming starts in our young people, Lord. And you give us parents the strength to teach them. You give us, Lord God, the passion and the authority to lift up them when they are falling, Lord God. And right now we declare the works of Satan are dead over the lives of our young people. We declare your authority. We declare your power. We declare, come on, church, we declare your might. We declare your glory. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would shut down the internet. You would shut down the pornography. You would shut down the idolatry and the adultery, Lord God, and our young people will see Jesus Christ as the light of God, and no more shall they be affected, Lord God, with what the devil, what the enemy has thrown at them. Lord, as your word tells us, that we bring thought, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, Lord. Everything that exalts itself up against your name, we bring captive, Lord, and we declare right now as one church that, Lord, our young generation, that they would walk in holiness. They would walk, Lord God, according to how you've called them to be. And Lord, we bring back their identity. We bring back their position, Lord God. We bring them back to who you have called them to be. This world tells them time and time again who they are, but only you can tell us who we are, Lord God. Only you can tell us who we are designed and fashioned to be. And Lord, we come against quickly, Lord, right now, against this spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism, Lord God, that is perverse and infiltrating our young society, Lord God, and these transgender movements, Lord God. And we come against safe schools in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against this perverse doctrine. We come against this perverse theology, Lord God, this perverse ideology, Lord God, that is telling our young people that they are who they choose to be. But Lord, we know according to your word that we are created in your image. We are not created in their image. We are created in your image, male and female, Lord God. You created them. And we pray right now that our young people will be freed from this lie of the devil. And once more, we say the works of the devil are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we declare your glory. We declare your burden. And we declare, Lord, your light over our young people in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks, guys. If you have a seat, praise the Lord. There's nothing like a prayer meeting in the middle of the message. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We've got to be practical. Keep praying for these young ones. Keep praying for these ones that have come here and we haven't seen for a while. Those ones who have recently given their lives to the Lord. Pray for Amber. Pray for Renee who was here. Pray for these ones. It's a battle. We're going to pray them into the kingdom of God. You know, it says, if any two agree on one thing, it shall be done. These are God's words. They're not just words to make us feel good. They're not words just to stroke us into that, oh, you know, we just know how to roll them off our lips and everyone gets stirred by it. This is the word of God and this is what he has declared. Amen. This is why I say, let's have an expectation upon what God has said. Hallelujah. We're going to see some change, church. We definitely will. There's no doubt about it. So God wants you to have a hope for your future. You know, we know that in Jeremiah 29, a common portion of Scripture says, "For I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This is our God. You know, and I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you're a young person or you're in your 80s, you still have a future and a hope in Christ Jesus. Amen. So don't ever let it fall by the wayside and think, oh, well, this is just my portion. This is how things are. No way. God has a future and a hope for you. Psalm 71:5 says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth." Then Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Friends, there is real hope in Christ. There is real expectation. I just can't say it enough, but I want us to grab a hold of it this morning, that we might have an expectation like we've never had before for the things of God, for what His Word declares. Everyone experiences times of crisis. There's no doubt about that. But your decisions determine your destiny. And we need to base our decisions upon the Word of God. Godly decisions. Can we stir expectation up again, church? You know, there's life that's beginning to happen, but we need to place our faith upon God. Nothing else. We've got to get our thinking right. And when you face a crisis, you know, it says draw close to God and He will draw close to you. We need to know how to do that. And not just when things are going bad. We need to begin to walk with God like we've never walked before. Get around godly people. Have one stand with you in prayer. If things are going on, get ones to stand with you. Don't stand alone. You will overcome because of your walk and your faith in Christ. There's no doubt about that. Take the problem to the Lord and ask for help. Very simple. Basic stuff we know, but how easily we forget it. It's just so true. You know, God said He never fails. He never quits. Now, God is faithful. You can trust Him to do the right thing at all times, and you can trust His Word. But let me tell you, to trust His Word means you're going to have to stand in faith. Because His ways are not your ways. And His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So you're not going to be able to work it out at times. You're not going to see the way ahead. But if His Word declares it, you can stand upon it. We need to know how to trust Him. In fact, sometimes the day after the battle is more important than the day before. And that's why we're never to let our guard down, even when things are going really, really good. There's a pattern in the Bible that shows that. You know, Noah prepared 100 years for the flood by building the ark. We know the story of Noah. When the flood came, Noah had his greatest victory. But when the flood subsided, Noah got drunk with wine. And as a result, one of his sons brought a curse on himself. Everything was going good, right? The same thing happened to Elijah. You know, we see Elijah's fantastic miracle over the prophets of Baal. Fire comes down from heaven, licks up the sacrifice, the water and everything else. But Queen Jezebel promised to kill him. Now, from that victorious contest on Mount Carmel where he saw the power of God, the literal power of God, an answer to his prayer, and then he's running away in fear for a lone woman. And he ran all day, and it says he was weary from his journey, and in his own space and in his own company, he cried out to God that he might die. Sometimes you can get in your own space and your own company and this thing here. And I'm telling you, if you do that, you better open your word and get into that space. And fill this with the things of God. And 1 Kings 19:4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. You know, Elijah faced five temptations that are common. He faced depression, he faced despair, he faced resignation, he faced failure and inferiority, meaning like sense of being no good or not good enough, worthless. How many of us face those things at times? He was depleted physically. He was drained emotionally. He was depressed mentally. He was despairing spiritually. And his desire to fight was gone. He was ready to give up and he was ready to give in, but God was faithful to him. And Elijah, we know, had been given a powerful prophetic ministry. That was his gifting and that was his calling. And regardless of his emotional chaos, the world identified Elijah with God. When they looked at Elijah, they looked at a man who walked with God. When they looked at Elijah, they looked at a man who brought the word of God. And they saw him do exploits in his name. So for God to deny Elijah would have been like to deny himself. And so God did not give up on Elijah, even though Elijah wanted to give up on himself. And Elijah felt alone and isolated, but God spoke to him. Just in a gentle voice, as God will speak to you if we put the time aside. And he brought life and he health to Elijah and enabled him to arise again. And 1 Kings 19:18, it shows God's words to Elijah, because Elijah had a complaint that he stood alone. And this is what God said to him. He said, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he reminded him, you know what, I've got 7,000 that are going to stand with you. So the turning point for Elijah was in the middle of his aloneness, facing temptation. He heard God's voice. And if you hear God's voice, or you read your word and something resonates in your spirit, from that point there needs to be obedience to the word of God. See, the path to deliverance starts when God reaches out to you, whether it be through the prophetic, whether it be through you crying out to God, whether it be through reading his word and he gives you a key, or he gives you something, or someone speaks into your life. But the continuation of that is obedience to it, to the word of God. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in your time of need, remember what the Bible tells us to do, which is to call upon the name of the Lord. To call upon the name of the Lord. You know, Christ is a strong tower. He is a refuge and he is your strength. But we need to be with him. Amen. We need to stick close to him. We need to trust in him. And there's so many here today, and I'm speaking to ones in this church today, because this is what I felt the Lord was sort of saying out of anything, and I really struggled with what to bring. That there's many that your mind is contrary to the word of God. The thinking needs to change. I'm talking about ones in this church. God would say, stop thinking this way, because it's destructive. Stop thinking this way. Put on the mind of Christ and let his mind be in you, and let his words proceed out of your mouth. God is for you, and with him your future is amazing. It's incredible. Don't quit. Don't allow the enemy to feed you lies that contradict the word of God. Throw it away. kick it to the pit of hell where it belongs. God has purposed your life and called you, fashioned you, and knew you by name before you were even born. Purposed in God. Gird up the loins of your mind and walk in an incredible and a great expectation, regardless of what you might hear and what others might say or wherever you find yourself. Do not allow it to come and mess with this thing between your ears. Amen. For His word alone, shall be established in your life. For that's what He said He would do. That's His promise to each and every one of you. Amen. Let me remind you of something this morning. I want to call you Son of God, because that's what you've been called, sons. Son is the highest thing you can be called, but let's just say daughter of God too, so you understand what I'm saying. Son and daughter of God, that's you guys, right? You are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen? Recognize that this morning. Each and every one of you walks in the full authority of Christ Jesus, because He has given you an access and He has made a way. Each and every one of you represent the kingdom of God, because you are called to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God. All of you. The Bible says that signs shall follow the believer. If you are a believer today, let me tell you that signs follow you. Expect it. Hallelujah. Your hands are trained for war and your fingers for battle. You've been equipped and you have been enabled. You are able. Son and daughter of God. This is who you are. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, for surely you do overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Your testimony should be that of the word of God and not the word of man. You pull down strongholds through prayer. This is what you do. This is your bread and butter. Amen. Because of the authority that is invested in you in Christ Jesus. Captives are loosed through your weapons of warfare. And chains are broken because there's anointing that abides in you, breaks yokes. And you better believe that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, and His anointing that is in you is purpose that you might be one that goes and breaks yokes in Jesus' mighty name. Not just leaders, not just pastors, but the believer. If you don't believe me, then read Mark 16:17 that says, to those who believe, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall cast out demons in my name. Does it say anything about a calling or a gift in there? No, it says to those who believe. This is who you are, son and daughter of God. This is who you are. You have been equipped with every good thing from above, that you can come boldly to the throne of grace and sup and have communion with the mighty King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and simply come before Him and embrace His presence and love on Him as He loves on you. Access has been given. Authority has been given. Gifts have been given. A way has been made. And so it's time to begin to act and to see yourself as God sees you. We've got to get this thinking right. We've got to begin to walk how God has called us to walk. We are not down on the ground. Satan is under our feet. But you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean there's not going to be times where things are tough. Because God's still in the process of perfecting. Amen. But He's put an overcoming spirit in you. Hallelujah. You know, I believe the church is just finally coming to begin to understand and realize its call and its identity. And I think as the days progress and go on, God is just going to reveal more and more, and the revelation is going to go from this head and into our heart and into our spirit, and it's going to cause a rising up for us to stand upon the Word of God like never before. you know, Elijah, he just stood there and he caused the rain to come and go, right? These guys in the Old Testament, the power that they walked in with God. These people that we look to, the forefathers of the faith and the exploits that we did. You know, all they did is walk with God. We can do it too. The access is the same. It comes down to you. It comes down to relationship. It comes down to understanding who you've been called to be. Son and daughter of God. That's it. It's incredible, church. Let's let our faith and our expectation arise to match the call. Amen, because it needs to. Because there's a call that's gone out, but the confession and the thinking does not match what God has anticipated and what God has planned for us. For it's great and it's mighty and it's powerful. You are the hands and feet of Christ Jesus Himself, ambassadors for the kingdom of God.